We know with every papacy, there are those Catholics who agree and don't agree with the Holy Father, but those voices seem to be a little more amplified this time in the papacy of Francis.
Well, this is something the Church has always had to deal with. We ought not to be afraid of breaks in the body of Christ. We don't want them. As the Holy Father says, he prays that it never happens. But there's always the danger that some small group of people, it's usually very small, set themselves up as more Catholic than the Church. When I was studying Catholic history on my way into the Church, I saw this with people like Pelagian, the Pelagius, who led to the Pelagian heresy, or the Donatist in Northern Africa. Augustine had to deal with those heretics in and around. It started in and around the Church, the local Church in Carthage, where the Donatist argued that the sacraments were ineffective if the clergy was not perfect. The idea that the grace of the sacraments depended on the holiness of the priest, that was their heresy. They made themselves more Catholic than the Church. The teaching of the Church is the sacraments operate even if the priest isn't what he should be when it comes to his own personal holiness and relationship with the Lord. But there's always this temptation to be more, try to set yourself up. And we see it today. There's those who, the Church allows certain things and people don't like that the Church allows certain things. The Mass in the vernacular, some people don't like that. They say, no, the Mass must be in Latin, as if Jesus used Latin in the Mass, which he didn't. And as if everywhere Catholics always celebrated Mass in Latin. Never was true. A large chunk of the Church never celebrated the Mass in Latin, never will. So there's people who usually through a faulty reading of the gospel and a faulty reading of history, set themselves up as more Catholic than the Church. And that creates divisions in the body of Christ. That's why the Pope argued against that kind of rigidity that would reject the fullness of Catholicity. The fact, for example, that there are many different rites in the Church. The Latin rite is only one of them, and there's more than 20. And so there's all these other rites with their own traditional way of doing things, and there's nothing wrong with that. What I loved in his comments about this is he reminded people that his social teaching is totally consistent with St. John Paul II, whom he takes as a model and guide in teaching the social teaching he teaches, so that he's trying to teach in continuity with the beautiful social teachings of St. John Paul II and Benedict XVI, so that there's a continuity, which I've been arguing, I see clearly, because this is my academic field, the continuity between the last three popes on the social teachings. But some in the press want to spin Pope Francis as if he is opposed to John Paul II when it comes to the social teaching, when in fact they're, as far as I see, much more consistency than inconsistency.
As you've pointed out, there is that consistency that we forget in these conversations among John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Francis.
Exactly. And Francis loves to quote his predecessors. He does it frequently when making a point. In his Joy of the Gospel, the whole thing is built around that wonderful quotation from Benedict XVI about the fact that at the heart of our faith is not a moral code, is not a book of canon law or liturgical law, as important as all those things are. What's at the heart of our faith is an encounter, an event, an encounter with the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And it's based on that encounter with the Lord that everything else makes sense. Without that, as Jesus says, without him, we can do nothing. And so I love this quotation. And Benedict said it first, but Francis quotes it all the time. Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. So it's that Christian personalism, that theology of encounter, which in John Paul II and Benedict came out of the communal school, in Francis comes out of this theology of encounter. They each have their own way of approaching it, but it's a consistent theology that emphasizes the person, the teaching, and the life of Jesus that has to live within us.
Monsignor, those who might appear to be trying to be more Catholic than the Pope, do they have to watch that they don't fall into a kind of a modern-day Pharisee role?
It has that danger. We're all tempted to do it. We all have our personal taste. I mean, I've got my personal taste on music, for example, and I'd love it if every parish I celebrated Mass at, you know, shared my taste, which I like more traditional and more more classical, if you will, music in the liturgy. But I can't impose that taste and say that's the only thing that's allowed at Mass. I go and say Mass at convents that chant and use more ancient traditions than I'm used to in music. It's not my favorite, but it's beautiful, and I have to say it's very prayerful, it's very Catholic. It's part of our tradition. There's places I celebrate Mass that use much more contemporary music, it's not my cup of tea for the Mass, but I can't say it's not part of the way we've done things as a church. And so, you know, the definition of Catholicism that Dorothy Day used, here comes everybody. And we have to have that understanding that Catholic has just that, here comes everybody.
I found it interesting, a thought from a priest a few months ago. It seemed to be echoed by the Holy Father very recently. And speaking of people who are almost hiding behind a very tight rigidity in the faith, quite often, in his experience, seem to be almost hiding behind that or really struggling with something that the rigidity seemed to help build them up against.
Yes, and I mean, that's, you know, again, people have their own taste and own spirituality, you know, but you can't impose that as universal. You know, I remember I was so shocked when I had a spiritual director say this to me. I went through a period of my spiritual life where I was finding praying the rosary difficult. And it was fortunately short-lived, but I went to my spiritual director pretty broken up about this. And the spiritual director said, first law of the spiritual life, pray as you can, not as you can't. If right now you can't pray the rosary well, we'll do a different kind of prayer right now. And I was so shocked that that was even a possibility. And then he said, the tradition is full of a lot of different types of prayers. And so, you know, and it woke me up to the fact that I was imposing on myself something that the church, yes, recommends highly, but doesn't require us to do. The church is very wise in telling us what the absolute requirements are. Outside of those absolute requirements, there's a great deal of diversity, and there should be a great deal of diversity in the body of Christ.